Okay, we're so glad you're back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio for another Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, David Morgan, the silver investor. Pleasure to welcome back to the show the silver investor, David Morgan, publisher of The Morgan Report, and silver-investor.com. Welcome back, David Morgan.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Well, let's begin the discussion today, if we could, with the silver market. You know, during market reactions, investors tend to seek intrinsic value to give them an idea of where the price floor is likely to come into place. According to one source, the true price of silver production is in the neighborhood of $20 an ounce for 2013. That would put silver near fair value at these levels. What production cost would you put on silver?
The Morgan Report did a very detailed study on the true cost of production. Now, we looked at several miners, and these were primary silver producers, such as First Majestic, as an example. Again, we did several of them, and we found it was roughly in the 22 range. It varies mine to mine. In fact, within, like, First Majestic, they have more than one mine under their corporate umbrella, and, of course, it varies from mine to mine, but the overall price was in that range. So, yes, and I want to go further, Chris, if I might. There's a book out long ago called You Can't Lose Trading Commodities. And anyone that's ever traded commodities or attempted to would be very fascinated by that title. So I bought the book and read it. In fact, he's actually a client of one of the brokers I use. Nonetheless, the point being that he made a very, very interesting point. What he said was if you can buy any commodity under the true cost of production and be patient, you will make money. And I think his premise is correct. So if you could buy, let's say, 18, 19 in that range and have patience, I'm not saying do it leveraged, I'm not saying do it on margin, I'm saying if you can buy any commodity under the cost of production and be patient, you're going to make money. So that's about where we are right now. And the longer we stay in this range, the greater propensity there is for mines to slow their production or even curtail it or even close it. We've seen a couple of our juniors, unfortunately, one that announced is going into full production. Had great metrics. It was small, could grow. It fit a lot of our profile for speculation. And we got fairly excited, but not overly so. And it wasn't within about a month or so after that announcement, they decided basically to shut everything down. And, of course, that was a huge disappointment for everyone. But you can see their logic. It was basically, well, if we're just going to be very marginal here, and we really haven't ramped up yet. Rather than ramp up, we're just going to cool our heels for a while.
Very good. Well, you know, I like that concept of buying, you know, underneath the intrinsic value or near the intrinsic value, because unlike stocks, which hinge so much upon cash flows, we really don't have cash flow from most precious metals investment. And so by buying particularly bullion near its production cost, you do sort of have that insurance policy of knowing that in order to replace these ounces, this is what you would expect to pay. Move on to the CFTC report, and they announced the end of an investigation into complaints on rigging in the silver market and the related manipulations. I wonder if you took a look at this announcement and if you have any comments on silver market manipulation.
Well, certainly I have, and I did write about it in this month's Morgan Report. But basically, if you read the exact quote, what they really said was they did not say that they didn't find manipulation. What they said was that they didn't have enough information slash evidence, and those are my words, not them, but what they said was based on the fact-finding expedition that they've done for 5 long years, they haven't got enough information to go further and take anyone to task, be it an employee or a firm. So that doesn't mean that they didn't find evidence of manipulation. What it means is that they, at law, think that there isn't enough evidence, if you, and that's my word, to go further down the road. And I've always stated to prove manipulation is extremely difficult. However, is it done? Absolutely. Furthermore, I'm on record, and this is something I said in front of Bill Murphy and Jeff Christian, kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, if you will, at the Silver Summit probably about 4 years ago. And we were all asked about the silver market manipulation. And I said, the long-term trend cannot be manipulated. And I believe that's factually proven by the fact that both gold and silver have been in major uptrends for several years in a row, nuts to make light of the fact that they've been consolidating in a downtrend the last couple. But the overall trend is up. But within the overall trend, certainly the market can be manipulated and has been and probably will continue to be so. But I don't like using manipulation as an excuse or someone that uses the idea that, oh, I can't win because of market antics. Because if you're really truthful and you really look at all markets, they're basically all manipulated. I mean, this high-frequency trading, the Exchange Stabilization Fund, the Working Group on Financial Markets, what goes on in options expiration, what the big brokers are allowed to get away with, the advantages that are given to the shorts, the advantages that are given to the commercial interests, and on it goes. Anyone that has any modicum of common sense can see clearly that these markets are not really free trading most of the time, if not for all practical purposes, never. That does not mean that you can't buy a commodity under the price of production.
No, exactly right. I mean, go back to gold market manipulation. Over, 100 years ago, you saw Fisk and Gould run up the price of gold, and then Gould pulled out his position on Wall Street, and hundreds of traders lost everything, and they simply blamed it all on Gould. But in the final analysis, you know, trying to point the finger at one source for manipulating a market, I think, is a lofty goal. Livermore, as I said, Gould, Fisk, Vanderbilt, many have had the finger pointed at them, but they were mostly scapegoats. Want to move on here to the Commitment of Traders Report. COT continues to improve here amid this reaction we've seen in the past 3 or 4 weeks. Commercial shorts clearly covering their positions. Any comments?
First of all, if you go back to the early days, meaning of this bull market, which would be the early 2000s for gold or silver, before the advent of the ETFs, this is prior to the gold ETF and the silver ETF, you could basically trade basis to the Commitment of Traders report with extreme accuracy. In fact, I did a special report that I put out at the Silver Summit years and years and years ago that showed exactly what to look for and how to do it. Since the advent of the gold ETF, the silver ETF, and several more besides the SLV and the GLD, it's been diluted. However, the COTs are important. So two further comments. Number one, the setup for the commercial interests have not been this favorable for about two decades. So we're talking 20 years now. So what that implies is that the overhead resistance in the futures markets or in the derivatives markets, if you prefer, is probably better favorable to gold and silver than it's been COT-wise in a long time. But I was thinking about that today, Chris, and I started thinking that perhaps, and this is just an opinion, not a fact, that maybe they lightened up their short positions at the end of the CFTC investigation so they could just throw up their hands, had it gone further, which it isn't, and say, oh, well, hey, we're not always that short. Look at our recent activity. We're basically very lightly short, or some nonsense like that. Again, opinion. The second point being that, again, I think patience is something that you need to bear in mind here. Very few people are adept at trading. Most people that try it lose. But if you are looking for an edge, the COT is one that is a tool of many that can be used. Again, just to reiterate slightly, in the day, back in the early 2000s, the COT was a major tool to be used for timing purposes. Today, it's somewhat useful, but not nearly as much as it once was.
Folks need to, I think, turn off the computer screens every now and then and recognize that the long-term monthly trend, as you alluded to earlier, remains up. And we can't let ourselves get caught up in the emotion. It's typical after the parabolic rise we saw from around, I want to say, 2010 into 2013. We had a threefold increase in the price of silver. That momentum has to be unwound. And if you're a long-term investor, who doesn't mind a lower price on your investment du jour? I look at these pullbacks as an opportunity as opposed to this end of bull market mentality.
I couldn't agree more. And its problem, I think, is that people get excited and they follow the herd and they get in this momentum thinking or this idea that all they have to do is buy everything now. And that's really an undisciplined approach. And usually you pay a price for that. So people that got in, I was just doing another interview this morning, And this guy said, you know, he said, get in at 35. What I did say, and you can go back and check the records on the in the public domain, was that if you were going to buy, this is when it went from 19 to 48. When it went to 35, I was getting very nervous. But what I said publicly is, if you have to buy silver now, don't buy it all. And what I was explaining or trying to inject into people's consciousness was that 35 is pretty far from 19, where we were just, you know, a couple of months before, and it's going to pull back sooner or later. And I called the top at 48 almost within the day. I was about 2 or 3 days early. The point being that you've got to have discipline, and you've got to have a long-term view. You've got to know why you own these metals. If you own these metals for a quick buck and you have a day trader or trader mentality only, and I have both an investor and a trader mentality, then so be it. I'm not going to tell anyone how to run their lives. But if you own the metals for the right reason, and they're down now, certainly you may be feeling some pain, but they're fully paid for, no leverage. Just wait. They're coming up.
Why don't you make a case then, if you don't mind, for higher precious metals, particularly silver? I mean, if we look at the fundamentals, of course, we're near the cost of production. We both agree on that. You know, it's not as though the Federal Reserve isn't printing any more money, and they did just curtail their end of taper discussion, so that was a bit of a shock. What do you think is going to be the impetus that brings the everyday trader back to the silver market?
It'll probably be after the fact. And what I mean by that, it'll be some kind of partial default. It could be something as easy as some big entity such as, let's say, something Fund of Canada or maybe the Zurich Continental Bank or one of these larger entities that buys, you know, 20 million ounces of silver in one tranche, and all of a sudden that's delayed. Not officially a default, of course, but there's a big delay. That could be one impetus. The other one is the fundamental fact that no fiat currency goes forever. The idea that the Keynesian model, which is if there's a delay on the economy, what you do is you stimulate the economy by injecting more cash through the government base. And that's been done in QE1, QE2, QE3, Operation Twist, the taper, the non-taper. And what's happened? Nothing. Nothing has happened except the banks have been made solvent. So clearly, everything reaches a limit. And the limit has been reached in the Keynesian model. It doesn't work. It's not working. And the Fed knows this, but they don't have anything else because that's the model that they base the whole economy on. So knowing that fact, if you don't own precious metals at any level, then you're actually missing a fundamental, very common sense concept. That is that all paper money throughout all of recorded history has had huge problems, and eventually they fail. Now, that doesn't mean it goes to absolute zero. That doesn't mean that you can't take a bunch of them and buy something with it. What it does mean is that Russia and China start trading with each other outside the dollar, that India and Russia do the same thing. These nation states are circumventing the dollar as much as possible and not buying our debt like they were several years ago. The dollar game is ending, and anyone that doesn't see that clearly is in trouble. And the way you protect yourself financially is to get into something outside of that matrix, and that means getting into gold and silver.
I think it's even more systemic than just the greenback. All major currencies, including the euro, the yen, the yuan, the pound sterling, and the U.S. dollar, throw them all into the mix. It is really a race to the bottom, as folks refer to it, as one currency continues to devalue in terms of all the others. And this is a global phenomenon.
No, it's a world. The thing that worried me the most when I started the website and on the internet was that it is a global phenomenon. It's not just dollar-based. The dollar is a reserve currency, so as the dollar goes, so goes the global empire, you might say.
No, exactly. So, you know, then you have to find a place to harbor or crystallize the wealth that you've accumulated. But I wanted to also address the concerns that some of my guests have had on the show, including Peru Saxena, the technical breakdown that we're seeing in the charts in the precious metals. You know, under resistance around the $26 silver and $1,500 gold area, folks are concerned that we must get back above those levels, get back up above resistance before one should even think about the end of the downtrend.
Yeah, I'll be consistent. I pretty much said that myself. I mean, I really think, and it's getting tighter and tighter time-wise, that we will see the $26 level and the $1,550 level or so in gold. in the not before the end of the year. I don't expect them to trade at those levels and stay there. I think they'll be tested. But I think that was the breakdown level. Those were great support for a long, long, long time. And then the, going back to manipulation, we had this massive sell-off. I mean, who would sell two-thirds of the silver production on paper in a matter of 20 seconds? I mean, give me a break. If that isn't manipulation, I don't know what is. But proving it, well, that's a different story. Back on point, yeah, I think if you're very conservative and you're not sure that, you know, I'm right or whoever holds the opinion that the precious metals bull market is still intact, the way to become conservative is pay higher. Wait for silver to trade above 26 for several weeks and gold to trade above 1550 for several weeks. Once that's established, then you have more certainty that the bull market is intact.
Very good. All right. I'd also like to talk about this dual threat of rehypothecation and bail-ins. It just seems almost every week we read another major story of legislation or account-related information that essentially says, well, you could be on the hook as an individual investor or as a pensioner or as a citizen for the mistakes made by these financial firms, banks, the industry, and even the government itself. Under those conditions, you know, one would certainly wonder about paper promises with regard to silver and be more inclined to procure silver bullion.
I agree. I mean, basically, the idea that a bank deposit is not at risk is ridiculous. In fact, what's interesting is I wrote about that in the Morgan Report about 1 month before the bail-in in Greece. And what I pointed out is if you read the contract, when you open a bank account, sign what's called the signature card, that's really a contract. And it's referred to as a signature card, but it's really more than that. What it basically says is, these assets for you are liabilities on our side, and basically it's their money once you put it in their bank. I know people have a hard time with that concept because they trust banks and, you know, it's in the bank and all these references we have to, you know, the bank soundness and that type of thing. But the truth of the matter is that they can do what they do legally. And there's been further legislation, if you will, across the board, Canada, U.S., other countries, that basically reinforce the fact that if they so choose, meaning the banking system so choose, they can go ahead and take whatever they feel is required to for their purposes. So, yeah, I think everyone in today's world that's aware of what's really going on, which almost reads like a science fiction novel, you've got to have some asset that's outside the system. That, in most cases, means gold and silver coins. What I'd like to do is suggest everyone goes to silver-investor.com and get on our free email list. When you're on our free list, we allow you to get a full subscription to the Morgan Report for a 30-day free trial. So you can see everything that's in the members-only section. And I don't have time to go through everything that's in there. It's a monthly report, but it's much, much more than that. Just the study on silver's true price and gold's true price is probably worth any serious investor's time. Not to mention all the special reports we have. For example, if you're going to trade in these markets, making the best advantage of your broker. And David Smith, that works with us, has a special report called Harvesting Green on the Pinks. And we don't do a lot on the junior side, believe me, but we do some. And this report alone will save you money on how to execute an order if you're going to do a pink sheet stock. Even if you're not in the mining sector and you do any pink sheet stocks, that report alone is probably going to pay you back the cost of the report because it's going to teach you how to execute an order and actually do it to your advantage rather than the broker's advantage. But I could go on and on. I won't. We put a lot of our heart and soul into this report, and we have since we established the website.
David Morgan, we want to thank you for your time today, and we certainly appreciate your thoughts and perspective on the markets, and I'm looking forward to having you back on the show as we make an assault on that resistance and overcome the 26 level on silver. I think that's going to be an exciting time and bring in a lot more interest to the market as people hopefully recognize that the reaction is over and the uptrend is going to re-exert some influence here. So we wish you the best.
Thanks so much, Chris.